As Jesus came into Jerusalem, Luke 19, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, if only you had known on this day what would bring peace." What brings peace? Luke, in his Gospel, chapter 19, answers the question, I believe, in four stories. According to the first 10 verses of chapter 19, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation in Christ brings peace. You know the story. Jesus was in Jericho preparing to head up to Jerusalem. And as he walked through the city streets, he looked in the tree, and there was the chief tax collector in the tree, a sinner. Everyone knew Zacchaeus. No one liked Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus simply wanted to see Jesus, verses 3 and 4. Zacchaeus was a social outcast, a moral leper, a hurting, lonely man who longed for peace. As Jesus made his way through Jericho, you know he looked up and Zacchaeus looked down. Jesus sees Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus sees Jesus. He goes to his home and there he loves Jesus and there he forms a relationship with Jesus. A relationship with Jesus. A salvation experience with God through Christ. A change of one's life brings peace. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save those who were lost like Zacchaeus." And on that day, Zacchaeus found peace. Luke 19 continues, verses 11 through 27. And Jesus teaches a parable, I believe a parable about faithfulness, that faithfulness and faithful service brings peace. It's not an easy parable to understand. A nobleman gave 10 men a certain amount of money and said, "I'll come back. You do something with that money." He pulled three of them together and said, "What did you do?" One said, "I took the 10 talents that you gave me and I invested in 10 more. One said, "I took 10 and now I have 5 more. And one said, "I took 10 and hid them." Laid it away, the scripture said. He was not praised, whereas the others were. Verse 26, chapter 19, Jesus said, "I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given, but as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away." God has given. God has given in this congregation, those who love him and believe in him through the power of the Holy Spirit. God has given so many gifts. So many talents, so many abilities. God has given us our very essence and being. Use your gift. Take who you are and take what you are and use it in faithful service. Use your gifts to do the work of the church, to faithfully fulfill the mission and the ministry that God has called. Don't waste your blessings. Faithful service, being faithful to God who has given us all. Faithful service brings peace. At the end of chapter 19, I think Jesus said, if you want peace, you do what's right. Those last four verses, Jesus cleanses the temple. Now Luke's remembrance is a little different from Matthew and John. They really break it out. Jesus runs through the temple in one of the Gospels with a whip, turns over the tables, cleanses the temple. The temple had become a mess. Taxes were exorbitant for the upkeep of the temple. Extortion of the poor who needed to buy a sacrifice in the outer court of the temple. It was an in-house racket. The poor, the most devout, the least, were the most abused. In verses 45 and 46, Jesus began to drive out, Luke said, those who were selling. Jesus is ticked. He is really ticked, and he's angry. We picture gentle Jesus, meek and mild, not here, not here. In the midst of this week, where his own personal trials would abound, in anticipation of the week where he would be betrayed and arrested, put on a mock trial, tortured, crucified, and died, Jesus does what is right. And when you do what's right, though others may not understand it, when you do what's right, you experience peace. Jesus took a bold stand against injustice in the temple. We might say, oh, you know, just don't mess with it. Just keep your head down and go on through the temple. Don't cause trouble. It's really not your battle. Let a committee deal with it in the right time. We need to be politically correct. No, Jesus was steadfast and boldly stood against wrong in the midst of the shadow of Calvary. Friday and Saturday, Walker and Caitlin and Aurelia and I went to Houston for a meeting, a conference put on by Texas Baptist. The conference was entitled Do Justice, Love, Mercy, Walk Humbly. The breakout sessions reminded me of what Jesus said, do what's right. One session type of living ethically in a culture of chaos. We went to sessions about dealing with addiction as a church, helping those in addiction, dealing with climate change, and loving your Muslim neighbor, how to minister to the homeless, how Christians should approach immigration. Do what's right. Conferences on pornography and sexual trafficking and gender identity. Do justice, walk humbly, love mercy. Jesus was steadfast. Of all times, Jesus should have been looking more into Jerusalem and looking at that wall. Week was ahead, but he simply said, I will do what's right. And I'm convinced when we boldly do what's right, regardless of what others might think, when we do what is right, especially in the area of justice and mercy, there is a peace that overcomes us, that surpasses all understanding. And finally, go back in Luke 19, that triumphant entry that the children portrayed to us, verses 28 through 40. Jesus, after being with Zacchaeus and after giving the parable of the talents, he makes his way to Jerusalem. Peace is known when you really see Jesus. Picture that journey from Jericho up that road, that narrow road that led up to Jerusalem. You know the passages. He's sent to get a colt, not a big horse. He wasn't coming in as that type of king, but the colt was a picture of peace. They began to put their coats and cloaks upon the colt. And Luke doesn't even have them saying Hosanna, though I like the word. Luke doesn't even have them using palm branches, but simply putting down their coats. But listen to what the crowd began to say. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The people were praising Jesus. It was the common lot that were praising Jesus. Those followers who had experienced firsthand Jesus' grace. We don't know who all these were. It was Passover. They were flocking to the city But I believe that multitude that had been with Jesus, they followed him right from Jericho right up to Jerusalem. Can't you see Zacchaeus and his family leading all through? Zacchaeus' life had been changed because he had a new relationship with Jesus. I think he was leading the group. Even the Samaritan woman who had no reason to go to the holy city for Passover, she was there, for he had changed her life and taught her of living water. The widow from Nain, whose son had been resurrected, oh, you know she was there in arms with her son and that prostitute. Her hair was still long. She still had tears, I would believe. The multitudes whom Jesus had fed, those who were blind who now could see, those who had heard the teaching at the Sea of Galilee, those who had seen the miracle of bread and fish, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they were all there. They had peace on that Palm Sunday, for they had seen Jesus. Those who should have seen Jesus, they weren't there. They were at the synagogue, the temple, plotting how they might kill him. Those who had it all together didn't have it together at all. The richest, the prettiest, the most likely to succeed, they weren't there. Verse 37, when Jesus came near the place where the road goes down from the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of his followers began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Those who really see Jesus, they have peace. As they approached Jerusalem, and as he saw the city, he wept uncontrollably. He wept and he said, "If only, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace." I think Jesus still weeps. I believe he still weeps today for us, for our world, for those today he shares tears for peace. He still weeps. Still today, Jesus weeps as he thinks, if only they knew what would bring peace. We long for peace. We visualize peace and we miss peace. Zacchaeus would have missed it, but he saw Jesus and he had a new relationship, a personal relationship. He experienced God's salvation. And after having that salvation, peace comes when we say, "Oh God, you have given us and gifted us. God, let us be faithful as we live and do what you called us to do. Find us faithful." And when we're faithful with the little that he has given through the power of the Holy Spirit, God blesses and we are filled with peace. And when we do right, when we do right in the midst of injustice, Jesus was angry at sin. He did right. Regardless of what others thought, you shouldn't mess with the temple table. Someone thought that. He did right. And when we do right, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, when we do right in the midst of injustice, there will be peace. And when we open our eyes like the crowd, and we really see the heart and the person, when we really see Jesus, we can't help but praise him. Jesus said, "Even if you are silent, the rocks will cry out praises unto me." Peace. Would you bow your head as our instrumentalists come to lead us in our hymn of response? I want you to
think of Jesus weeping today for you, for us. It's not today in us. It's we. It's all of us. Jesus weeps for us. He looks at our world and He longs that we would know how He loves us. Oh, how He loves you and me. He shed His tears for you. Later, He would shed His blood for your sin that you might have peace. Oh, God, this day may we be overwhelmed with your love. Let us not get so wrapped up in our hosannas that we miss the tears that were shed for our peace. Tears that were shed that we might have peace through everlasting life in Jesus Christ, that we might use our gifts and be faithful in our service, that we might do what's right, that we might really see Jesus. Oh, how He cries, how He longs for our peace. Oh, how He loves us. Thank you, God, for your love in Christ. May we today find that peace in Jesus.